though we've reached millions, and that's a whole lot, we still have billions more to go. And we're never going to stop. We're going to keep doing what we're doing until we reach everybody around the world with the truth about cancer, that it does not have to be a death sentence.
Number one, the statistics as of this year, according to the World Health Organization, is 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women alive will face cancer in their lifetime. So I think what we have today is a medical system specifically in cancer that's more focused on perpetually treating the disease than ever finding a cure. If we go back to the Fitzgerald Report of 1953, the United States Senate itself determined that there was a conspiracy to suppress cancer treatments in the United States that were natural because of the money that was being made treating them with drugs. That's what the Senate determined. So it's not just us that's saying it.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Ty Bollinger and Charlene Bollinger joining me in this segment. They're going to talk about their Truth About Cancer free series that they have going on. It is really a national crisis, what's going on with cancer. We have 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women. I thought it was 1 in 6. It's actually more than twice that amount of people in the United States that are getting cancer. And I don't know how many people are dying. I got to look at the latest stat. It is out of control. And this, if we need anything, we need the truth about cancer to get out there. There are solutions. There are things that people can do to heal yourself from this awful disease. There's things that we can do to keep ourselves from getting this awful disease. And they stay after for my patrons and give a little bit glimpse more of what's coming in to the series that's coming up. And I think it'll be really interesting for them. But other than that, it's free for everyone. There's a link below. Please use my link. I get credit for who I refer. I mean, I don't care. It's free. I'm just on a mission. I want as many people to listen to this as possible. We're in a situation where more than half of society is going to get this disease, and it's wiping people out. More people go into bankruptcy because of this. People are dying all over the place because of cancer. This is what's unacceptable. And one thing that you heard in the quote is that even our Senate admitted that there's a conspiracy against holding back treatments for cancer that work. There's a conspiracy that is well known. They know what's going on. The only people that have an excuse are the people who are still ignorant and don't know. But once you know, you have no excuse. Let's get this out. Let's get everyone to know the truth about cancer and stop this and eradicate this disease. Get people to understand what's truly going on. So let's get into this interview now with Ty and Charlene Bollinger. Hi, Ty and Charlene. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. Glad to be on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you have this amazing Truth About Cancer that you're doing. I know you've been on this life passion to try to educate people on cancer. Why did you decide to take this on? Because this is a big challenge. And as you know, it's there's a lot of pushback everywhere.
Yeah, well, for us, it started when we first got married. When I was a little girl, I dreamed about my knight in shining armor, my handsome prince. And so when I grew up, I met Ty, and he is that dream. And so when we got married, we were so happy living the perfect dream that anybody could live. But 6 months later into this happy life, his dad was diagnosed with cancer. We were with him when the tumor literally blew up in his stomach. We didn't know what was going on. We just knew he was in so much pain. So we took him to the hospital, into the ER, and the doctors thought it was gallstones. So they went for exploratory surgery. We thought it would be no big deal. Halfway through the surgery, the doctors came out and said, "It's cancer. He's so young and it's so advanced." And those three things are embedded in my heart and mind. Back then, we were still steeped in this system and we didn't have the knowledge that we have today. All we knew was cancer equals death. And 25 days later, he did die. But it wasn't from the cancer, although back at that time, we believed that it was. It was from a botched surgery. They cut his stomach out. They did not sew him up properly. And he literally bled to death. It was very hard. And when we think about it, it's hard to remember the details. It's unbelievable that this happened. But after that time, 6 months later, we lost his father's father with cancer. Then his father's brother and his cousin Glenn around 6 months later. A few years after that, we lost his mother's mother to cancer, Grandma Helen. And 6 months later, well, her dad, Grandpa D.E. And then finally in 2004, we lost his dear mother, my mother-in-law. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. We had done a lot of research from the time we lost Ty's father to the time's mom. And we knew it was time to compile it into a book that we would help others to learn the truth so that we could save lives. And so in 2006, we released The Truth About Cancer. And through that book, hundreds of thousands that, yes, kids. So that was the first, that's right. And we reached hundreds of people. And we were learning that people were following what they were learning and becoming free. And then in 2014, we started the documentaries and now reached millions of people, which is so incredible. That's our dream, to reach people with the truth so that they can have the knowledge that there are other options and better ways in this world to become healthy and cancer-free. And though we've reached millions, and that's a whole lot, we still have billions more to go. And we're never going to stop. We're going to keep doing what we're doing until we reach everybody around the world with the truth about cancer, that it does not have to be a death sentence.
Well, let me ask you. So you lost so many family members, and it just became overwhelming. Like, what the heck? Now, there's people, it's like one out of six people now, I think, are in this country are going to get cancer, maybe worldwide. It's really a terrible problem. And people are doing, you know, the march for, you know, the little pink ribbons and all these things. And it seems like nothing ever happens. And the chemotherapy drugs are still back to a couple decades old. And we're just, it's, but yet there's so many good options. When you were doing this filming and things, what will people learn that they won't learn from the typical sources? I'm sure there's a lot here.
Yeah, there is a lot that they'll learn, Sarah. Number one, the statistics as of this year, according to the World Health Organization, is one in two men, one in three women alive will face cancer in their lifetime. So even higher than what you thought.
Twice as high.
A lot of people are concerned with the cancer epidemic. That's why we have all of the marches and the walks and the runs and all these things, which is a lot of good people trying to do something to help their mother or their sister or their father. But what they don't understand about these things is that they're run by the very companies that are making drugs to treat the disease. For instance, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month was initially conceived by AstraZeneca. Well, they make tamoxifen, which is the main breast cancer drug. So we're not, there's really not a lot of incentive to cure the disease. I think what we have today is a medical system specifically in cancer that's more focused on perpetually treating the disease than ever finding a cure. They say that they're running for a cure, but we're really not running. Nobody's really interested in a cure. I mean, I say that nobody's interested. Of course, people, families of people that have cancer want a cure, but the companies that are producing the drugs that perpetually treat cancer patients, they really are not interested in a cure. They're looking for a patient for a long period of time to increase revenues. The money is what's really driving force behind cancer treatments today. You know, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory. It sounds like, oh, you're just making that up. But if we go back to the Fitzgerald Report of 1953, the United States Senate itself determined that there was a conspiracy to suppress cancer treatments in the United States that were natural because of the money that was being made treating them with drugs. That's what the Senate determined. So it's not just us that's saying it. So I think that what we have today is an industry that's focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on treating the symptoms of a disease with chemo and radiation so that we can shrink a tumor, but we don't really get to the root cause of the disease, which the tumor is just a symptom that something's wrong in the body. And very few people are looking at what can we do to correct the body so that it does the healing.
Well, I know people who have wiped out their entire life savings and are, you know, bankruptcy and destitute, have no more retirement. because they're trying to just save a loved one. I mean, you'll spend whatever you, that's what makes it so frustrating, is that they know there's a lot of money here because people will do whatever it takes to save their loved one. And it's hard to know that, you know, because I've done a lot of research. I know that there's been different things out there that has made a difference. And they have worked hard to suppress that. Now, when you were doing this research, what kinds of things did you learn that was the most eye-opening?
I tell you, probably the most eye-opening to me was just the shock that I received all over the world when I discovered that the story's always the same. It's always the same. The doctors are miseducated. The doctors are miseducated in the sense that they're taught to treat a sick body with chemical poison, and that somehow that can heal it. They're miseducated to believe that somehow a sick body with cancerous tumors can be healed by radiation, which every oncologist knows causes cancer. And they're miseducated to believe that the nutrition that we put in our mouth, the fuel for our body, doesn't make any difference on that state of disease, and that it's absurd to think that you could reverse cancer with changing your diet. That really shocked me the most, because medical doctors are by and large smart people, but they've been miseducated when it comes to treating cancer and the effect of diet and the immune system on the body, and that the body is a natural self-healing mechanism if we give it the right fuel. And doctors don't know that.
And then the flip side of the coin of what Todd is saying, in the same realm, one of the most shocking things or surprising things in our research that I remember learning and realizing, and it was unbelievable, was that doctors that were doing these protocols, that like Rife, Royal Raymond Rife, and Hoxie, and other doctors like that were effectively treating cancer patients so successfully that people that were close to death, or Kelly, with the Kelly protocol that Nick Gonzalez taught us about, the enzyme therapy, these doctors were systematically being persecuted by our own government, by our FDA, and by the medical community, the AMA. They were all coming against them. That the doctors, even today, we have doctors like Dr. Sears out in California being persecuted because he stood up for a family that had children that were vaccinated, damaged. And he said, because of your case, because the only opt-out of California now is if a doctor says you don't have to be vaccinated for a medical reason. These children were vaccine damaged, and Dr. Sears was a good enough man to say, I'm going to write this excuse for you to the medical community that your children can go to school without being vaccinated because there is damage here. And if there is danger if you do this again, that you will further that damage. And because of that, the medical community came out against him. They silenced him for a while, but Dr. Sears is now saying he will not be silenced because that tactic didn't help anyone. And that's just one of many examples of the shocking revelation Ty and I have had through the years, that these noble, great heroes that are healing people, and they're noble and they're wonderful, good people, brilliant minds with protocols that really work, one after another have been just rooted out by Gestapo. And speaking of Gestapo, that reminds me of Brzezinski. He said he's now fighting the grandchildren. He's fought three generations just to help people with cancer. He's now fighting the grandchildren of the first generation that he's been fighting. And he compared it to the Gestapo. This is just a mafia that's coming after these good guys. To me, that, I think, is the most surprising and shocking element of it all.
Well, it's hard not to be angry, right? The Brzezinski one, I remember watching that whole documentary, and even the jurors were out there marching for him, right? I mean, it's just so absurd. You know, these kinds of things make me angry because there are solutions and they're holding people back. I almost get to a point now where there's so much information out there that there's no excuse. I mean, they know. So you said there's a conspiracy, even the Senate knows it. Well, now it's even blatantly, everybody's almost involved in the conspiracy, because how can they claim ignorance at this point?
Sure, and I agree with you, Sarah. There's a 1987 case Wilk versus AMA, and Chester Wilk was a chiropractor. He sued the AMA for slander and libel and trying to shut him down in his chiropractic clinic. And Judge Susan Getzendaner ruled that there was an active conspiracy among the AMA to target not only chiropractors, but almost all natural practitioners. So you're right. I think it's pretty much common knowledge now that there's a conspiracy out there to silence people that try to use natural medicine. And, you know, the first time, I don't know if you know this, but the first time that the term quack was used in the United States vernacular here in the United States was in 1913. The AMA developed an internal department they called the propaganda department to silence naturopaths and chiropractors and so forth. And they began to call them quacks. That was the AMA that brought that term into our vernacular now. And that's why, you know, 100 years later, you know, those types of doctors, they're looked at as quacks. They've been slandered and libeled for over 100 years now.
But the problem we have today, Sarah, is this. The doctors have gone to medical schools that have been steeped with textbooks and curriculum that have been written by the pharmaceutical companies. And that started in 1910. And we covered that with the Flexner brothers and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. They own the chemical companies. So we have this system that has been hijacked by a monopoly, and it's for the purpose of making a whole lot of money. And cancer alone is over $160 billion a year business. So they are making a lot of money. But the doctors that are in the system have gone through this medical school for so many years to be the doctors that they are. And so to them, they're steeped in it for so long, that's all they know. Now, we believe that they do come to an aha moment where they're realizing, wow, everything we learned, we got in here to help people. And look at this, they're dying like flies and we don't even know what to do to help them. And we've met the doctors, but one good friend that Ty went to college with, he's one of our best friends, we featured him in the documentary, he used to think we were crazy. He didn't believe us in 2008. He does today. He's now treating his patients successfully using a lot of the protocols he's learned through our work. And he's done his own research. He's brilliant. But now he's getting healthier. He's lost weight. He's doing great things for his patients. But in the middle of his practice, he's surrounded by doctors that are just like hound dogs that persecute him, that say he's crazy. And there's just that pressure that's constantly on the good guys that are doctors because the other doctors don't yet get it. And more doctors today don't get it than doctors that do. So there is that pressure. So the ones that climb outside of the box are strong and they're doing good things and they need our support. And Sarah, we need you to continue to do what you're doing to help wake up not only the average person, but especially doctors.
Well, see, I get mad. My sister's a doctor. My other sister's a pharmacist. So they're both in the medicine deal. My sister started waking up and she's now moved from Midwest to the Oregon, where it was much more her style. And I hear all sorts of stories. And you know, the autism is another area. And if you don't follow the protocols that they lay out for you, they can shut you down. But my thing is, you get upset with us, but look at our rates and look what's happening in our clinics compared to yours. Your people are dying like flies. Ours are healing. So at some point you have to wake up. You know, I get to that point where there's no excuse for pointing a finger and telling me I'm a quack when my people are healing and living and yours are dying. Hello? I mean, so at what point do we stop making it an excuse and saying there's no more time for excuses? You need to wake up because you're hurting people.
I agree, Sarah. I mean, there is no excuse once you are confronted with this information. Now, if you're in a state of complete ignorance and have never been exposed, that's
different.
But once you're exposed, you're accountable. And I think that everybody now, we're getting to a point where people are getting exposed. Look, it's kind of absurd, I think, for people to look at doctors and say, and look at these many morbidly obese, out of shape, and just horribly unhealthy people and expect them to help you be healthy. Doctors are very close to the most unhealthy profession on the earth. Their average lifespan is about 7 or 8 years less than everybody else. Our friend that Charlene was talking about, that's a medical doctor, when he was going through his transformation and he began doing his green smoothies and his exercise every day and he was losing all the weight and getting healthy, there was one doctor in particular that he told me about that always mocked him. And while he was drinking his diet soda and eating his donuts, he was mocking our friend because he said, "You're not going to get healthy from that green juice." He said, "If I need to reduce my blood pressure, I'm just going to take a statin drug." Well, a couple years later, that doctor died of a heart attack because doctors are very unhealthy people in large part. So I think that one of the mistakes that many people make is looking at doctors as these, as the gods on earth that can help us become healthy, and relying on what they say to follow their advice. I think we need to realize doctors don't really know much when it comes to health.
Well, it's,
and start taking to our own hands.
It's not really fair for these doctors because they're in such a horrible environment. And they are with the whole insurance thing, and they can't do what they need to do. I have so many horror stories that I've heard of doctors who are trying to make a difference that are fighting this system, and their clients are being hurt. The other thing that is a real excuse, not just for doctors, but for people like us, is that you're surrounded with bad options. And the donut tastes so good. You know what I mean? And so if we had healthy people, the system became healthier, it would be easier for everyone to be healthier because you weren't confronted where your most 98% of your options are bad for you.
Yeah, that's why what we're doing, what you're doing, Sarah, you're educating people because they will continue in this system of lies and death as long as they don't know the truth. So the goal is getting this information out to as many people as we can, so that people do step outside of this system, outside of this box, and start living a healthy lifestyle. And we need to continue to help them to understand what does that look like and what do you need to do. And that's why it's really important for people to understand the foundation of why we are where we are, for them to understand the medical monopoly that's in place and why doctors don't know. They're not the end all and be all of all things. That all the information is at our fingertips. And so it just is a matter of educating people one at a time. And as we educate them, then they share it with their friends and their family, and on it goes until the tidal wave is so big that the system gets broken. That's the goal, is to break the back of this medical monopoly. I mean, we are the Avengers. There's a movie about us, right? We, you and me, Sarah and Ty, and all of us together, we really are fighting a system of death.
It's terrible.
It's corrupt.
Well, and it's so crazy. We got to get to a point where, and I'm to that point where I'm just like, I'm done with you. This is killing everybody. Knock it off. I mean, this is one area, cancer, and it's a big area. But there's a couple other areas that I'm dealing with too that I interview people on, and I'm just enough. You guys wake up. So I'm a little, because I've been doing this for quite a few years, just like you. You've done it longer than me probably, but I hear so many horror stories that I'm just like, enough, you know? So what can people do?
Speaking of horror stories, this is the epitome of the system and the corruption within the system and in the doctors' hearts. And this is an example of an aha moment and what we're looking at in the doctors and what we're fighting. So Ty, a couple of years back, got an email from an oncologist that had a radiology center. And the guy reached out and said, I want you to know, I really appreciate what you do. And I'm an oncologist, but I got out and here's why. I was at the emergency room with a doctor friend of mine. And just to preface the story, he said, the man makes a whole lot of money and here's how he's doing it. But in our hometown, 3,000 square foot home is, you're considered rich. He's got a 10,000 square foot home. He's got this and that, his material things. He's like, I'm not against making money at all. But I want you to know how he made his money. He said he was in the emergency room. There was a man that came in. He had cancer and he was just close to death. And his friend said, oh, let's get him on radiation right away. And the guy that wrote to us said, oh, that we can't do that. That'll kill him. And the other guy said, I don't mean to be morbid, but unless we get three treatments in him and do it right away, we don't get paid.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. I'm a type of person, and I know you are too, that I don't care. At some point, it's like, I can't kill people for money. I mean, hello. Okay.
Yeah.
What can people do? Share this truth about cancer, share it with as many people as they can, tell their friends, their relatives, tell everybody. right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, share it with as many people as you can. Tell everyone. And you can't force somebody to believe it, but you can share it. And when the time's right, they'll get it. And we've had that happen over the years with many people. I've had it happen with several different medical doctors that at first didn't believe it. And then later they said, wow, you're right. So just present the information to them. It's presented in a very logical, understandable manner. And then when the time's right, they'll get it and they'll start telling their friends, and it'll be a grassroots effort.
Yeah, because we've been doing this long enough to have quite a few people persecute us. And some of those, as we've said, have come outside of the box, and they've come to us and said, wow, I'm so sorry. I didn't get it at the beginning, but I do now. And thank you for your stance. Thank you for loving me enough to continue to walk me through this, whether it was through just silently loving them, knowing they weren't ready, and them seeing it for themselves by seeing what we're doing and watching and seeing the outcome of the medical system and friends or family members, whatever that looked like for them. But I can tell you, there are people that from the beginning that persecuted us that still do. So some will get it, some will climb outside of the box, and others will continue to give you a hard time. And those are the thorns, I think, that help us to become better. They refine us and make what we do just more beautiful.
Well, what you're doing is beautiful. You're heroes. You're doing the persistence. You're fighting a fight with love and patience. And that's incredible. It really is, because this is a hard fight. And I know a lot of people have been persecuted horribly, lost everything they've had, including their lives in a lot of cases. And so I'm glad you're public, because if you did lose your life, that would be everywhere, and it would be not worth their time. So I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Sarah.
We appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Will you guys stay after for my patrons and give them just a bit of something? It's how I support my show.